Okay, we're beginning here five lines down on the top of Kav Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, by Rav Menashe Bar Gadol. Rav Menashe Bar Gadol posed the following question, which seems to be a follow-up to our Mishnah in understanding how one can be a beneficiary of either appreciation or value that was not his own but belonged to Hekdesh, and he is still able to utilize that to discharge his obligations. We saw in the Mishnah that he purchased a Shamot, or he purchased an Ayo L'Chulin, and then the price appreciates, and then through that appreciation, we allow you to bring your korbanot. So the question that Rav Menashe Bar Gadol is asking is basically that. Bikinus chumshin mahu. If he gathered together, aggregated all the chumshin, mahu shit chaper. Can he use that towards his kapara? Now the case, Rashi brings over here two possibilities as to what the case is. In the first explanation, he says that the individual had separated out two sela to purchase an asham that he was chayav, and then he was mo'el in that money. Once he's mo'el in that money, you have to pay a fifth of that amount, so that is two zuz, as we saw in the Mishnah. What happens if he continues to do that a number of times until he aggregates those chomshin, the two zuz, he does it four times, then he ends up with an aggregated amount of two sela. That's the question that Rav Menashe Bar Gadol is. If you've already threw those chumshin where you're mo'el, and then mo'el again, and mo'el again, and each time you're mo'el, you are chayav two zuz, you aggregate all of those two zuzin four times to get the two sela, will you be able to use that to purchase an asham mi'ilot that you have to bring because of this mi'ilah? In the second version, Rashi, the question is, can you use those monies to purchase the asham you're chayav, the original asham that you're chayav, even though the Karen is there, and the Karen you could use towards the Asham that you originally were Chayav, nevertheless, can you instead use these Chumshin to pay for the Asham that you were Chayav? And then the original monies that you had segregated for the Asham now become Motar Asham, which goes to Nidava. And then can you give those monies to Ketzem Mizbeach after you use the Chumshin to discharge your obligation with regards to the Asham that you are Chayav? Those are the two possibilities that Rashi lays out as to what the question is. All of the scenarios are very difficult to understand, and we'll point out a number of problems or issues with these scenarios. And in the end, it's very hard to figure out exactly what the case is and have it correlate with what we saw in the Gemara yesterday. That is, first of all, if someone is Mo'el in the monies that they set aside for Nasham, after they're Mo'el in that money, it turns into Chulin. Once it's Chulin, if you again subsequently are Mo'el in such monies, there is no mi'ilah because it's already chulin. So in order to answer that question, the Yoch Lener says that every time after he was already neneh with the monies and they went to chulin, he was makdishit again to be an asham. And once again, he was mo'el in it. So every time he was mafrish the Karen and the chomesh, makdish them, and then mo'el in the Karen again, then makdish the Karen along with the chomesh, and then mo'el in the Karen again. So each time, or each subsequent time, he is Mo'el because he's Makdish, the Karen and the Chomesh, to replace that which he had done wrong prior to that. And then again, he's Mo'el not on the Chomesh, but just in the Karen part, and then triggers the necessity to bring another Chomesh. That solves one problem, which is, why is it that he is able to be Mo'el and Mo'el again? Generally, Ein Milah Achar Milah. Here he's suggesting that he was Makdish each time, and that's what allows him to aggregate these Chomshin from the same Karen, from the same monies that he set aside for an Asham. That's the first question. The second question is more pronounced. You can see that in the Shita Mekubetzet Od Gimel, in the Chidushim in the back. He brings Rashi's explanation. He says, V'lo Nihira. He says, doesn't make sense. Sherei kol pam upam shenene hari u chayav Asham Milot. Every time he gets ana'a, he's chayav a separate Asham Milot. Shim yesh lo losif admei Asham Arishon. And the monies that he brings for the Chumshin should be added to the first korban that he was chayav, Lavi Asham Shemina, to bring a big fat Asham. Therefore, he says, Rashi's explanation doesn't make sense, at least the first one, where he says that you bring an Asham Mi'ilot with it. He says, first of all, there's not just one Asham Mi'ilot to be brought. You need to bring an Asham Mi'ilah for every violation of Mi'ilah, which in this case, there are going to be a number of them because he's collecting Chomshin. And number two is, an Asham Mi'ilah doesn't help you because you're supposed to use these Chomshin towards the Karen of that which you owe to the Mikdash. As we said yesterday, if it's Bedek HaBayit that you are Mo'el in, then the Chomesh is added to the Karen that you repay to Bedek HaBayit. If it has something to do with the Mizbeach, then what you are Mo'el in, you have to add to that Kodshei Mizbeach. In this case, since the monies were set aside for Nasham, like we said yesterday, if you have a Chomesh that's a penalty there, that Chomesh has to be added on to the Karen, and you have to buy a bigger Asham, or bring a bigger Asham, the Mizbeach, because the monies have to go to the Mizbeach. What he's pointing out is that Rashi's explanation that it's an Hashem Me'ilot doesn't make any sense, because the Hashem Me'ilot has nothing to do with the Chomesh. That's a separate korban that he's got to bring. And beyond that, he's got to bring more than one of them. So why does using the Chomshin for one Hashem Me'ilot make any sense? The Rachmonim try to come up with reasons as to why, in this scenario, the Chomesh doesn't have to be attached to the Keren. From what we saw yesterday, it seems to be that the Chomesh has to be connected to the Keren. That's whether you pay the Keren in cash, where it was going to the Nidava, or in the case where it's bring for the Korban, it has to be attached to the Korban. And over here, what seems to be, the way that Rashi is explaining it, at least in his second explanation, if we said the first one doesn't work, whereby he's using it for Zasham, that he was Chayav. And then the excess amount now goes to the Nidava, because he's using the Chomshin to bring the Asham that he owed, and then the excess amount of the Karen becomes Motar Asham L'Nidava. It turns out that your Karen is going to Nidava and your Chomshin are going to Korban. So why are you able to separate between the Chomshin and the Karen? But you'll have to say something along the lines that it's not Ma'akev to have the Chomish be directly attached to the Karen that you're paying. Or you have to make a suggestion that here, where he's bringing the Asham from the Chomshin, and he has the Karen as being also dedicated towards that Asham, they are both going towards the same item, just that you've now purchased the item with less than the total amount, and then the regular rules of Kodashim kick in, and that means that Motar Asham goes to Nidava. But again, that's very difficult. Shita Mikubetzet says, V'nira l'faresh, kagon, imifrish sela la'ashamo, it's a case where he was mafrish the sela to bring an Asham, only a sela, not the shtei sela that he needed. He got enough from it, and then got enough from it again. Ad shemashlimim achumshim imakaren, until the chumshim that he does from this mi'ilah add up the shtei shlaim to get him to the minimum requirement of shtei sela for his asham. Ma'u shiftor atzmo mehen, can he utilize those monies in order to discharge his obligation from the two sela that he had to bring his original asham? The way the Shita Mikubetzet sets up this scenario, it solves many of the problems that we have here. You'll still have to rely on that Aruch Lener that you were makdish the money or the Karen over and over again. But each time you were mo'el in a sela, you add on a zuz, which is 1/5. That means if you did that 4 times, you now have an extra 4 zuz. 4 zuz equals a sela plus the original Karen of a sela. Together they equal shtei slaim. And the question is, can you bring your asham from that? Because in bringing the asham from the shtei sela, you're not only dedicating the monies now that you owe the Kodshei Mizbeach, the full amount plus the Chomshin, but it also gets you to your minimum threshold of Shtei Sela. You didn't have that. Now, through the benefits of the Hekdesh, the Chomshin, you're not just bringing a bigger animal, you're meeting the requirements that you had for the minimum threshold of Shtei Sela. That's the way that the Shita Mikubetzet explains what the nature of the question is over here. The explanation does help to alleviate most of those problems. So that's the way we will move forward with this, which is assuming that he was Mafrisha Sela, was Nene from that Sela. The Chomshin now add up to another Sela, and through those two Sela, he's bringing his Korban Asham that he was Chayav. The nature of the question is, Mi Amrinan, Imtim Salomar, if you believe, Adamit Kaper B'Sheva Chaktesh, a person is able to use appreciation that accrued to Chaktesh for his own benefit to be Mitkaper, Mishom, the Katarach Kameh, because the appreciation happened under his auspices. That's the loose way to translate it. Although the Rabbeinu Gershom says, Mishum de Katarach Be, Shotzio Vichniso Achish Picho, that he actually took care of the animal. And in his care for the animal appreciated, even though it was in the hands of Hekdesh, it appreciated because of his input to the animal. And that's why you're allowed to use the Shevach Hekdesh for your own benefit. And you have to say that when the Rabbeinu Gershom over here says that he made an effort and it's his effort that created the appreciation, you can't say that that means it belongs to him, because it's still within the auspices of Hekdesh. It belongs to Hekdesh. It just gives you the right to utilize that appreciation, but not that that appreciation now belongs to you. It still belongs to Hekdesh, but it gives you the opportunity to utilize it. Avahacha de lo katarach, over here you didn't do anything. The Chomshin, which are Shevach Hekdesh, quote-unquote, are all a result of the improper behavior that you had. It's not because of any effort or investment that you made, and therefore, lo mitkaper. We won't allow you to use that for your own benefit, even though it is Shevach Hekdesh, and normally we would allow you to use Shevach Hekdesh. Over here, we're not going to permit that, because you really didn't do anything to generate that appreciation. Hodilma, Or maybe im timsalomer inadamit mit kaper v'shevach hekdesh. If in general we believe people cannot use appreciation of hekdesh for their own benefit, shum dela afreshe, because at the time that you segregated these monies to pay for your korban, they weren't worth what it is worth today. That appreciation all happened in the hands of hekdesh, and therefore you can't utilize that appreciation because you were mafreshit, or you dedicated it to hekdesh when it was at a lower value. Aval hadein kinus chumshin. In this situation with the kinus chumshim, the afreshe, at the time that you segregated out to be hekdesh or to be kodesh, that value is the full value, and the appreciation really happened because of the misappropriation of hekdesh that you did. And now you're bringing in money, but the monies that you are spending are coming out of your pocket now at their full value. And so even though it is shevach hekdesh, but you're giving its full value and dedicating towards the korban, maybe in that case, ikalameymar mitkaper, you could say that he can get kapara for it. So the Gemara presents the two possibilities, irrespective of whether you think that you can be mitkaper b'shevach hekdesh or not mitkaper b'shevach hekdesh. Even if you believe you can be mitkaper b'shevach hekdesh, maybe here it's different because it's shevach that happened, we'll call it memela, versus shevach that you were a party to. And even if you believe that there's ein mitkaper b'shevach hekdesh, maybe over here, when you dedicated or donated its full value, maybe over there you would be allowed to use the word kapara. Now the Gemara says, let's take a step back. The Yibailu mit kapar v'shevach hekdesh alone. Why don't we ask the fundamental question, are you allowed to get kapara from shevach hekdesh? You posed the question layered on top of that question. Why don't we deal with that fundamental question as to whether you can get kapara from the appreciation of hekdesh? Tashma, our Mishnah, ha-mafrish shnei sna'im la'sham. Someone who was mafrish to sell to be used for Hashem, lakach behen shnei elim la'sham. In the first case of our Mishnah, where you separated out the monies to Sela to buy your Asham, and with that you bought a Sela, one Asham, and another Sela, the other Asham. If one of them now accrued to a value where it is worth two Sela, even though you paid one Sela for it, you can use that for your Asham that you were originally Chayav for. And then the other one will go out to graze until it gets a mom, and be sold, and then the monetization of the animal will be utilized towards the Kayetz Mizbeach and brought as Olot, my love, the Zavan Be'arba Ayo. He purchased it with four Zuz. Four Zuz is one Sela. The Shavach, the Shavit Amyo. And then it appreciated to the point it was worth eight. Ushmamina. And from this you would see, Adam Mitkaper B'Shevach Hekdesh. You're gaining Kapara. You're bringing your Asham from the appreciation that accrued to Hekdesh because you spent the Sela on this animal. And now it's worth two Sela. You spent four Zuz on it. It's worth eight Zuz now. And we're allowing you to use it for your korban asham. And where it says, lo, hachamai eskinan, do ozil roe gabe, that the shepherd discounted the price to you. So truthfully, the animal was worth two sela. He just sold it to you at a sela. So the appreciation is not hekdesh's appreciation. It is appreciation that you garnered from your transaction with the roe. The Rabbeinu Gershom formulates it in a very pointed manner by saying, v'hai shevach eino hekdesh. This appreciation doesn't belong to Hekdesh, el de balabait. It belongs to the owner, the fish, shasalo hanaot the roeh, mikodem. He already gave benefit to this roeh. He was kind, he was generous, he did other transactions. He had benefited this roeh in the past. The fikach, machram lo bezol. As a quid pro quo, the roeh, to return the favor, gives him the animals at a discounted price. It's as if he paid out of pocket for this money. So the Rabbeinu Gershom, similar to what he said before with regards to you taking care of the animal, he makes it sound like that appreciation literally belongs to you. That is because over here, the reason the Roeh gave you the discount is because you did something for him, and therefore quid pro quo, he's discounting the price to you. That means it's really a bartered transaction, by which the whole discount is really coming out of your pocket because that's remuneration for something else that you have done. And similarly before, he said with regards to you taking care of the animal for hekdesh, makes it sound like your efforts were the thing that made it appreciate. And therefore, the appreciation belongs to you. The Achronim reject that extreme type of view because if that is true, then the latter cases in our Mishnah, you should have been able to use the monies, like in the third case in the Mishnah, for whatever you chose. You wouldn't have to use them towards the Hashem mi'ilot, and not use it towards your Karen b'chomesh, because you don't have the option to do what you want with the money. That wouldn't have been true, because if it comes from your efforts that the appreciation happened, and then it belongs to you, literally. And similarly over here, if the Roed discounts it to you, and it's yours literally, that you should have the choice as to what to do with it and not be compelled to use it towards your Hashem Yilot instead of your Karen V'chomesh. So what you have to say, and this seems to be the tone of Rashi, that the money doesn't literally belong to you, but nevertheless, since you were a contributing factor in the case where you brought up the animal or worked with the animal to appreciate it, or in our case over here, where the discount is provided by the Ro'eh, doesn't matter that it's your money or the Ro'eh's money. We're indifferent to that as long as it's not Hekdesh's money. And so therefore, it doesn't matter whether you really own that difference between the Sela and the Tusela, because he was doing some favor for you, or whether he just did it and he's paying for your Korban, which he's allowed to do. He can purchase or he can provide a Korban for you fully if he wanted to. So if he happens to provide half of it for you, doesn't change the fact that that Korban is yours to be used, and it's not appreciation that's associated with Hekdesh. And so therefore, the way that we would explain it is not like the Rabbeinu Gershom that literally it's yours, but rather it is yours to be utilized, even though it belongs to Hekdesh. That's both when the case where you're contributing towards the appreciation of the animal, contributing in the sense of bringing it in, taking it out, taking care of the animal, or in this case where the Ro'eh is discounting the price, not necessarily because of you that the discount happened, but just the Ro'eh himself could be the one who pays for the Korban. And so just between the two of you paid for the Korban, you a Sela, he a Sela, doesn't matter to Hekdesh because it's not coming out of Hekdesh's pocket, it's coming out of someone else's pocket. And that's the way to explain this idea that it was from the Ro'eh that he got it. Tashma, let's try to bring a proof from this Tosefta. Akach ayo b'sela. He purchased an animal for a Sela, upitimo, and then he fatted it up, vimido ashtayim, and made it worth 2 Sela, kasher. He can utilize it for his korban. So shmamina, adam mit kaper, b'shevach hekdesh. Once again here, you see that a person can get kapara through shevach hekdesh. Obviously, the assumption here is that when he used the Sela, he purchased the animal for his asham or towards his asham. And then afterwards, where he fatted it up to get it the minimum threshold of value, he did it when it was already hekdesh. So here you are being mitkaper b'shevach hekdesh. Where it says, lo, pitmo, shiny. If you're fanning up the animal, it's different. Daha chaser leitam nayo. In the end, you forked out of pocket the full 2 Sela. You purchased the animal for a Sela, which is 4 Zulas, and then you fattened it up, paying 4 Zulas for the fattening of the animal. So in the end, you invested 8 Zulas or 2 Sela in this animal, and that's why it's worth 2 Sela now. So it's really not Shevach Hekdesh, it's really your Shevach or your money out of pocket, 8 Zulas, and that's why you're able to be mitchaper with it. But had it happened, Memela, had the appreciation happened not because of your investment, even because of your care, but not because you were out of pocket any money, then maybe you couldn't use it. Tashma, this is from the Seifa of the same Tosefta, Lakach Ayo B'Sela, he purchased an Ayo for a Sela, Barihu B'Shtayim, and the value is now 2 Sela. Kasher, it sounds like you purchased it for a Sela, it appreciated to 2 Sela, and it works. That sounds like Adam Itkaber B'Shevach Hekdesh, Achanami Kishepitmo. Mar says again here, it's where he fattened up the animal. Mar says, Ihachi Anu Resha. That's the same as the case of the Resha. Why do you need to tell me the same thing twice in the Tosefta? Resha is a case the Zavan Barba Bashbach. Invested another 4 zuz in it. The chaser leitam nayo. In the end, he lost, or he was out of pocket, 8 zuz, which is 2 Sela. Seifa the zavin ayo ba'arba. He purchased an animal for 4 zuz for 1 Sela. Vashbechei betalato. And then he invested 3 more zuz in it for a total of 7 zuz of investment. V'shabitam nayo. And now it's worth 8. Where it says, Ihochi ema seifa yishalem sela mi beito. Over there it says he has to pay a sela out of pocket to make up the difference. Ha chaser lei zayin. He already has out of pocket 7 zuz. Why does he have to put in a Sela to make up the differential? He should have to only put in 1 more zuz. So where it says, Ma yishalem, what does it mean he pays the Sela? Tashlom de Sela, the amount to make up the deficit to a Sela. So the deficit here is 1 zuz that he's missing in order to get the latter investment to 1 Sela. If you believe a person can't get kapara from Shevach Hekdesh, tashlum Sela, my hobby. When you make up that money or add that money, why does it make a difference? You need an animal that's worth 2 Sela, and you don't have that because you only paid 7 towards the animal. The other zuz went to Hekdesh, but it wasn't the value of the animal that you paid for. So then in the end, even though you paid out of pocket 8 zuz, nevertheless, the last zuz that's associated with the animal itself happened from appreciation of Hekdesh. Yes, you compensated Hekdesh for it, but the animal itself is comprised of 7 zuz, which came out of your pocket, and 1 zuz, which was appreciation of Hekdesh. And from there you see that you can be mitkaper b'shevach Hekdesh. The Gemara says, "Olam kasavra adam mitkaper b'shevach Hekdesh." The Gemara concludes, a person can get benefit from Hekdesh in order to provide his kapara. That's the case. Why bother to give the extra money? Meaning that if you can utilize the Shevach of Hekdesh, why do you need to pay in that extra amount to get you the 8 zuz? The reason he does that is gzeira shem yamru ayol pachot mishtesh lahim mechaper. Because people will think this animal was worth 7 zuz. Even though now it's appreciated to 8 zuz, when he dedicated it, it was only 7 zuz. People might come to the mistaken impression or conclusion that you can bring an asham worth less than 2 sela. So we make you make up the deficit, even though there's no monetary deficit anymore because it's appreciated to 8. But we make you make up that difference out of pocket so people who see this realize that you've paid a full 8 zuz and it looks like that you've actually paid 2 sela, which is the minimum amount that you need for an asham. And so therefore, you won't come to the mistaken conclusion that you can bring a korban worth less than 2 sela, even though here it's possible that he could have gotten the benefit from the extra zuz that appreciated towards Hekdesh. Nevertheless, in order to prevent people from coming to the mistaken conclusion, we put in a gzeira. So the Gemara says, my havi Allah. So in the end, what is the halacha with regards to getting kapara from Shevach Hekdesh? Tashma. B'shat hafrasha yafes sela. At the time that he segregated out the animals were the sela. B'shat kapara yafes shtei sleim. And at the time that he got the kapara, it's now worth 2 sela. Yatsa. Breita is straightforward. It says that if the animal appreciated between the time that you purchased it and the time you bring it as a korban, since it meets the threshold of shtei sela at the time of kapara, you can be yotze with such an asham. And here you see that even though the benefit, the shevach, came to Hekdesh, you're allowed to gain the kapara through that shevach of Hekdesh. Now, by Rabbi Elazar, Adam it kaper b'shevach Hekdesh alo. So Rabbi Elazar poses this same question that we asked before, which is, can you get kapara from shevach Hekdesh? As Rashi notes here, it's obvious he didn't hear the braita that we just quoted, because the braita we just quoted is conclusive that you can't. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, who's Rabbi Elazar's Rebbe, Kama Shanim Gadal Ze Beinenu. How many years did Rabbi Elazar learn by us, grew up with us, V'lo Shama Halacha Zumi Meni? He never heard this halacha from me? That of course you can get kapara from Shevach Hekdesh. Michlau, from Rabbi Yochanan's statement, it makes that Rabbi Yochanan thinks that in the affirmative, you can get kapara from Shevach Hekdesh. And the Gemara says, yes, he did. V'ladamra. He said it on this. The proof that he has, or the reason that he says that, is because of what we have that's not. From the Mishnah. V'lad toda utmurata. If you have an offspring of a toda, or an exchange, a tmura of a toda, v'chein ha-mafrish todato v'avda, or a situation in which you were mafrisha toda and it got lost, befrisha cher tachta, and then you separated out a second toda to replace the first one, ein tun alechem. The extra todot don't require lechem. Not the offspring of a toda, not the tmura of a toda, and not the toda. If you were mafrisha to replace the original toda and then you found it, you don't need to bring lechem with it. Vishalach Rabbi Chanina Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chanina tells us the name of Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu elalachar kapara, tvlad ein tun lechem. That's only if you already garnered kapara from the original todah. If you get kapara from the original todah, then the second todah, whether it was brought as backup because you lost the first one, whether it's because it's a vlad or a tmura, in all those cases, you don't need to bring lechem if you already attained kapara from the original todah. Aval difnei kapara, but if it's before kapara, then ta'un lechem. Then you do require it to have lechem. Alma kasavar mitkaper b'shevach hektesh. From here you see that the Mishnah clearly says that you can get kapara from Shevach Hekdesh. The scenario where you have offspring of the Todah, that offspring is Shevach Hekdesh. That's appreciation or value that accrued while it was already Hekdesh. And yet we're allowing you to use it as your primary Todah. Because as Rabbi Yochanan says over here, that's only true that you don't need to bring lechem with the vlad if you use the mother already as your Todah and brought lechem with her. But if you have yet to bring your original Todah, the mother, with lechem, then you bring the vlad first, you bring the vlad with lechem, and it becomes your primary todah, and then the mother will not have lechem. What you see here is you're allowed to use the vlad as your obligatory todah. And so here you see that you can use shevach hekdesh, which is an offspring of todah, for your primary korban, even though that is shevach hekdesh. And from that, Rabbi Yochanan concluded that a person can be mitkaper b'shevach hekdesh. By Rabbi Elazar. So now we're going to have a series of questions posed by Rabbi Elazar, and a similar refrain from Rabbi Yochanan as to, didn't hear this from me, we learned together for so many years, and then what Rabbi Yochanan thinks the answer is. By Rabbi Elazar, Bali chayim nidachin olo. Can Bali be chayim be nidachin? meaning that if they get disqualified for whatever reason from the Mizbeach, is that disqualification then permanent, even though the disqualification falls away, while the animal is still alive? It's a machloket in the Gemara and Yoma with regards to the Shei Seirim, the two goats that are brought for the Seir Lazazel and the Seir Lifnim. So over there, before you throw the lots on them, if one of them dies, then can we just bring another partner for the one that is alive? Or the one that is alive is now Nidach. He was pushed away. He lost his partner. And therefore, since he's disqualified at this point in time, you can't re-qualify him by just bringing in a partner. You have to bring a whole new set of two Seirim. So that's the question as to whether Balei Chayim Nidachim, does the animal that's alive, when it got disqualified for a short period of time, is that disqualification then Nidach permanent in nature and he can't be used for a korban anymore? Or is it temporary? Now, there are different opinions there. There are some say that Balei Chayim Nidachim or Balei Chayim are not Nidachim, but then if the animal's already shechted, there are those that say that there is dichui when the animal is already shechted, the dam is in the coast, when it's already ready to have the zrikat the dam done. So there are different views along the way as to when something will or not be nidach. But with regards to balei chayim, that's the one where you're most likely to say it's not disqualifying because the animal is still alive and it's not yet been processed for the particular korban that it is going to be used for. So here he asked the question, Rabbi Yochanan, Kamishanim Gadal Zebineinu, Velo Shama Halacha Zo Mimeni. He grew up with us, he learned by us for so many years, he didn't hear this halacha from me. Michlau Damra Rabbi Yochanan. From here you would conclude that Rabbi Yochanan did say something about this din and had a conclusion. And the Gemara says, yes, he did. So from there you would conclude that Rabbi Yochanan believes in the affirmative that Balei Chayim are Nidachim. Damar Rabbi Yochanan, Beima Shoshne Shutfim. This is something we saw back in the Gemara and Tmura, where you have an animal that is owned by two partners, and Higdish Chetzia, one of the partners is Makdish, his half of the animal. Well, he can only be Makdish, his half of the animal, Lidamim, for its monetary value then to be brought towards the Mizbeach. He can't be Makdish Kedushat Aguf, that's half an animal. And he doesn't own, or he doesn't have rights to the other half of the animal. Chazar Lekach Chetzia, then he buys out his partner in the other half of the animal, Higdisha, and he's Makdish, the other half of the animal. So now, if you believe that Balei Chayim are Eina Nidachim, then there would be possibility to elevate the Kedusha of this animal now from Kedushat Damim Lemizbeach to Kedushat Aguf, because now he owns the entire animal, and Shebel Re Makdish second half, and then have that influence the first half. But if you believe Balei Chayim Nidachim, that means when he was Makdish the first half, and he took it out of the world of Kedushat Mizbeach, and made it to Kedushat Damim Lemizbeach, then he no longer has the ability to then change that status. It was a disqualifying event for the animal. And now when he goes and purchases the other half and he wants to now elevate it to Kedushat Aguf, doesn't matter because the animal was already disqualified from the Mizbeach. So what he's pointing out here is in such a situation where he purchases the half of his partner and Makdishit, Kedusha, he's successful at generating Kedusha, Damim LeMizbeach, Veina Kreva, but it doesn't go to the Mizbeach. Boset Mura, it is able to create Mura because it's not Kodshe Berekabayit, it's Kodshe Damim LeMizbeach, Ut Murata Kiyotzeba. But that exchange that you do and that kedusha that you transfer onto the other animal is similar to the core kedusha of this animal, which is its kedusha veina kreva. And so the tumura also doesn't go on the mizbeach, but it's monetized for its damim, and the damim are put towards purchasing an animal for the mizbeach. Shmami na talat. From here you would conclude three things. And again, we spent a lot of time this on the Gemara and Tumura. Shmami na balei chayim nidachin. The first thing is that an animal that's alive can be disqualified from going on the Mizbeach that you see here, because the animal's alive and it's being disqualified from the Mizbeach. Shmami na kedushat damim midacheh. Shmami na esh dichu bidamim. Rashi points out these two are identical and they're actually synonymous and there's no reason to bring them down. The girsa in the Gemara and other places is one of them is Shmamina Yesh Dichui Bidamim, and the last one is Shmamina Yesh Dichui Miikara. So the three things that you conclude from here are, number one, that Balei Chayim are Nidachim, because it's a live animal and we're disqualifying from this Mizbeach. Number two is the fact that it has Kedushat Damim is sufficient grounds to disqualify it from the Mizbeach, even though it was never kadosh b'kedushat aguf. It was never ro'oi to go on the Mizbeach, so therefore maybe the disqualification shouldn't matter because it has yet to reach the elevated status of kedushat to be for the Mizbeach and be disqualified. Here it tells you that kedushat damim is a disqualifying event, and then after that, see here that you can have something that's nidach mi'ikara from the outset. Generally, you would have thought of nidach being something that had kedushat aguf, then lost it or was disqualified, and now he's trying to praise it back. Nidach means you had something and it was pushed away. Here we say dichoy miikara. Here it never had kedushat aguf, yet it has dichoy. And that's called dichoy from the outset. Over there, we spoke in the Gemara and Tumurah as to what's the nafkamina between Kedushat Tamim and Dichoy Miyikara, but they seem to be synonymous. By definition, Kedushat Tamim is Dichoy Miyikara, because you can only have Kedushat Tamim prior to the Kedushat Agufa Mizbeach, and therefore they seem to be synonymous. And over there in the Gemara and Tumurah, we spoke about, from the Balei Tosafot, nafkaminot between them, how you can separate out Kedushat Tamim from the Dichoy Miyikara. But those are the three conclusions from that, and one of them is that Balei Chaim Nidachim. So you see, that is the position of Rabbi Yochanan. By Rabbi Elazar, Huzlu Mtlaim Be'olam. What happens if there is a general depreciation in the world, and all Tlaim in the world, none of them are at a value of 2 sela? Mao, what do you do in this situation? Mi Aminan, Mivchar Nidrechem Be'inan. You have to bring the best of your nidarim, or the best that you can bring, va'ika, and you're doing that. You're bringing a bleh, or you're bringing an ayo that's worth a sela, and that's all you can do, but you're bringing the best that there is. Odilma kesef shkalim ve'inan v'leka. Or does the Torah make a minimum standard of 2 sela, and you need to meet that threshold? Doesn't matter what the world pricing is at this point in time. You need to get an animal that's worth 2 sela. If you don't, you can't bring it. So Amar Rav Yochanan, kama shanim gadalnu bebeit midrash, lo shamanu halacha zo. Says, how many years have we been learning the Beit Midrash? Nobody ever asked this question. Velo, is that really true? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Can't be Amar Rabbi Shimon Yochai, because Rabbi Yochanan never saw Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Therefore, it has to be Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. As the Rabbeinu Tam points out, that when you say Mishum, it means that you didn't see the person, but you're bringing halacha in their name. So you didn't hear it directly from them. You heard it in their name, and now you're conveying it in their name, which is the way that it would be with Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Mipnei ma lo nitna Torah kitzva b'mechusrei kapara. Why is it that by mechusrei kapara, the Torah doesn't give a minimum value of korban that you need to bring? Shema yuzlu tlaim, because maybe tlaim will depreciate in value. V'en lehem takana lechol b'kodoshim. And then you can never rectify these individuals. So you see a number of things from this. First of all, you see from this that Rabbi Yochanan knows about this question, because the question that's here is brought in his name, in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So he's aware of this, and he's heard of this question before. That's number one. Number two is, you see the answer to the question as well, which is that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says the reason the Torah didn't make Mechusrei Kavara have a minimum threshold of price to bring their korban is because then you would have a possibility that you would not be able to bring a korban for Mechusrei Kapara, and they'd be permanently knocked out of eating Kodoshim or entering into the Mikdash. So the Torah avoided that by not giving a minimal value for a korbanot of Mechusrei Kapara. But what you see from that as well is that had it given a minimum value, that value would be koveya, and it doesn't matter what the world pricing is. So Ema loli madnu alachazu. So he meant the statement of Rabbi Yochanan when he was surprised by that question of Rabbi Elazar, say that we didn't teach this halacha. So Ba Rabbi Zeira Bar Adam, the alternate gear says Rabbi Chir Ba'aba, Kot Latin Yomin Mahadir Talmudei Kameid Rabbi Yochanan Rabbei, used to go over his learning in front of Rabbi Yochanan every 30 days. So it's clear that Rabbi Yochanan taught it to someone else, and that individual was reviewing it in front of him. Ella, you have to amend it to read, Ella Ema lo nitbakasha halacha zu mimenu bebeit midrash. And that it's been many years and nobody's ever asked for this halacha, or nobody's queried about this halacha for many years. Now gufa, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Mipnei ma lo nitna kitzva b'mechusrei kaparas. Now the Gemara goes into depth of this quote from Shimon bar Yochai, why the Torah didn't give a minimum threshold of pricing for mechusrei kapara. That's the case. Maybe if that's the case, why isn't there a minimum amount for a chatat? There is a minimum amount for nasham, but there's no minimum threshold for a chatat. So the regular chatat chelev, just simply a kapara, it's not a facilitator to allow you to eat kodoshim or to go into the mikdash. So according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's logic, then it should have had a minimum price. And yet we don't find any minimum price by the Chatat Chelev. Matkiv la Rava, Elamiata Sham Nazir, Lavile Kitzva, Delavatalahu Da'ati. And again, the same thing by an Hashem Nazir, which has no quote-unquote purpose to it, then why doesn't it have a minimum amount? And we know that an Hashem Nazir and an Hashem Mitzora do not have the minimum threshold of 2 sela that is needed by the other Hashemot that come from an Ayo. But the Hashem Nazir and Hashem Mitzor, which come from a Keves, don't have that minimum standard, even though Chazal say it has to have a minimum of a Sela, because if the Ayo is 2 years old, the Keves is 1 year old. If the Ayo is 2, then the Keves is 1. But that might be only a Limud Midrabanan, or an extension, but its Torah never prescribes a minimum value for the Hashem Nazir. And it's Levatala, because the Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, another memra that he quotes from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, in the Chadavar Shehu Ba Levatala, El Hashem Nazir Bilvat. The only thing that comes for, quote unquote, no purpose, is an Hashem Nazir, because the way that the Shita Mekubetzet in Ot Chavchei and the Chidushim in the back explains, Gil Yom Perish Bekuntris Deton Shtei Tziporim, the Nazir Tameh requires two Tziporim, Echad HaChatai V'Echad HaOla, besides that he has to bring an Hashem, but Behem Tliya Kol Kaparato, but the ability to start your Nazirut B'Tara is triggered by the bringing of the Chatat in the Ola, not by the Hashem. And therefore the Hashem is quote unquote the Batala, because the necessity to bring the korbanot in order to trigger the Nizirut Tara is already accomplished by the Chatat and the Ola, and the Hashem is brought afterwards, even though it's not needed at all to trigger anything forward, it doesn't provide any kapara. That would be as opposed to the Hashem Mitzora, which based on this statement of Shema Yochai would indicate that the Hashem Mitzora is Me'akev the Tara Ta-Mitzora, as opposed to the Hashem Nazir, which is not Me'akev the Nizirut Tara of the Nazir. But if that's the case, again, you see here that you have a Qurban that it does not withhold any ability of the individual to do anything, yet there's no minimum threshold for it. Kasha, so we leave that as an unresolved or difficult issue within the position of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai as to his explanation of why it is that certain korbanot have a minimum threshold and others do not. Okay, now we move on to the next Mishnah. It says, Amafrish chatato umet. Someone who segregates out a chatat and then passes away. Lo yibienu b'no tachtav. His son cannot bring it in his stead, meaning that he can't bring it for his own personal requirements. If the son now has a chiyub chatat, he can't use his father's chatat. As Rashi says, vein tzarich lomar al-chet av, and certainly can't bring it on behalf of his father, de ain kapara l'charmita, because you can't bring kapara after the death of an individual. Lo yevienu min chet al-chet, and one may not use the korban that they segregated out for a particular violation, and then bring it for another violation. And even if it's the same violation, meaning that he was segregated out a chatat to be mechaper for the chalev that he ate yesterday, he can't bring it for the violation of chalev that he did today, shenamar, because the pasuk says, korbano al chatato. He brings the korban for the particular chait, ajay korbano l'shem chatato. The korban has to be designated for the particular violation, and once it's dedicated to that particular violation, it can't then be changed or appropriated for another violation or even this different instance of the same violation. So the Gemara says, Menahani Milei, how do we know that which is said in the Mishnah is true? The Tarbanan, we have a Braita, Korbano. So the word Korbano appears, and it appears a number of times with regards to the Chataot. By the Chatat Anasi, it says, Odalav Chatato Asher Chatab Avivit Korbano Sirizim Zachar Tamim. It also says it by the Korban of the Yachid twice, once by the case of the Seira, and then once by the Kibsa. It says over there, Ohudai Lav Chatato Asher Chatab Avivit Korbano Sirat Izim Pimani Keva Al Chatato, which will become important later on. And then by the keves or the kibsa, it says, keves yavi korbano lechatat nekevat mima yavienu. Then it ends up at the end there, al chatato. So you have here the korbano mentioned three times, as well as al chatato mentioned twice. And the bright is going to darshan those words, korbano. Tanurmanan, korbano. Be korbano hu yotze, venu yotze be korban aviv. Your chatat has to be your own chatat and not your father's chatat. Yachalo yotze be korban aviv, bebehema shifrish aviv, minakala la chamura, o minachamura la kala. You would think possibly that you can't use your father's korban when there's a difference between the violation your father did and the violation that you did. Meaning there's some differentiation in the severity of the issue. Either the Rashi says over here examples of a kala or nidav chalev that don't have a mitat beit din associated with them versus others where we have a mitat beit din associated with them like avodah zarah and Shabbat. So you would think you can't use the one from Shabbat and avodah zarah on nidav and chalev and vice versa. But on the same level, maybe you could. If he is separated out for Nida, you could use it for Chalev. Or if he separated out for Shabbat, you could use it for Avodah Zarah. Tamalomar, Korbano. So we have another word, Korbano, to teach you. Even in the case where it's the same level of violation. Maybe you would think when it comes to an animal that he already segregated to use as his korban chadat, that's where you can't utilize your father's korban. Afilu mina kala la kala, mina chamura la chamura, as we already established, You can't do it even on the same level of violation. Sherei ein migaleach niziruto al behema shifrish aviv. Because we have a halacha which we learned in the Masechet Nazir that an individual cannot bring the korbanot his father designated for his personal nizirut. The son can't use them for his nizirut. But that's only true if they were animals that he separated out. He separated out an olah chatat and a shlamim to bring for the completion of his nizirut. The son can't use those animals for his own personal nizirut. Aval yotzei b'maot shifrish aviv. But maybe when his father only segregated out monies to purchase a chatat, maybe you could use those monies for your own chatat. Avilu min hakala lachamura u min hachamura lakala, irrespective of whether it's a more stringent violation or a less stringent violation. Shreyadam migaleach nizirutav al ma'ot shifrish aviv. A person is allowed to use monies that his father designated towards his own, the father's nizirut, the son can use for his own benefit, as long as the pile of money never delineated which is for which korban. Because there are three korbanot that come, it's a chatat, an olah, and a shlamim. Had you already designated the monies, then the chatat would already been defined. But if it's undefined, the pile of money, and it's just a pile of money to purchase the korbanot of the nazir, the son can utilize those monies towards his nizirut after the father passes away. But if they are defined, you can't do it because, as we noted already, the problem of the chatat. So then you would think now, by the case of a regular chatat, where there's just money designated for the chatat, maybe you should be able to utilize those monies. The son should be able to use them to discharge the obligation after the father passed away. Talmud Lomar, korbano, a third korbano. Bekorbano hu yotzei, ben yotzei bekorban aviv. He can only use his own korban, he can't use the monies of his father designated towards his korban. We would think that monies don't work, doesn't matter if it's on the same level, kala to kala, chamura to chamura, aval, yotzei bekorban shifrish latzmo, but if it's your own korban, chatat, that you segregated and delineated, afilu mina chamura la kala, mina kala la chamura, you would have thought maybe you could switch the chatat that you separated out for a particular violation. You could switch it from something that was chamor to kal to chamor. Talmud Lomar, korbano al chatato. That's what we mentioned before. Al chatato, achei l'shem chatat. It has to be designated for that particular violation. And since you already dedicated it to one violation, you can now co-opt it for another violation. Yochalo yitzei b'korban atzmo b'beima shifish latzmo afilu min hakala lakala o min hachamura lachamura. So then you would think, okay, when it comes to switching the designation of the animal, that you can't do, even if it's on the same level. Because if he was mafrish beima for chelev, and he brought it for a violation of dam, or he separated out for dam and brought in a violation of chelev, because over there, you didn't misappropriate the korban so that there was mi'ilah. And since there's no mi'ilah, you can't attain kapara. The Gemara will explicate on this in a second. Aval yotzei b'maot. But when it comes to monies, shifrish latzmo min hakala lakala u min hachamura lachamura, maybe over there when you designate the monies to be brought for a particular chatat, and then you utilize those monies for another korban, o min hachamura lakala u min hakala lachamura, or you're switching the level of the korban, keinim shifrish latzmo maot al chelev, had you designated monies to bring or buy a korban for chelev, v'ivian al adam, and instead you purchased a chatat for dam, al adam, or if you were segregating the money to use for a violation of dam, v'ivian al chelev, and instead you brought it for a korban of chelev, shrei ma'al. In that case, you misappropriated hektesh, therefore v'chiper, maybe you should attain kapara. Talmud Lomar, again, we said before, there's another al chatato, korbano al chatato, ajei korbano l'shem chata'o. It has to be designated for the particular chatat, so even if money is designated for that particular chatat, you can't then utilize it towards a different chatat, even if it's your own money, and it's your own chatat, you can't switch it to a different chatat. So now the Gemara wants to understand, my lo ma'al v'lo kiper, what does it mean that there's no mi'ilah, therefore there's no kapara? Targamah Rav Shmuel bar Shimi kamed Rav Papa. So Rav Shmuel bar Shimi explained this in front of Rav Papa Achi Kamar. This is what the Braita meant. Kamen delo matzi mayo kipurei nami lo mechaper. In the case of the animal, if it was a designated to be a chatat for dam, and now you switch it to be a chatat so for a chelev, you're unable to do that. Since you're unable to do that, then there is no mi'ilah, because you didn't misappropriate it, because whatever you say or whatever you do now has no bearing on the animal. The animal is a chatat chelev. You're trying to make it into chatat dam. You have no influence or you have no ability to make that switch. As Rashi says, after mishani lavik dushata kaima. Even if you try to switch it, it remains in its original status. The hektesh enu b'mum lo yetzei le'olam l'chulin. Because any hektesh that doesn't have a mum in it, you can't change its status from kadosh to non-kadosh. So since you can't misappropriate it, there is no mi'ilah. if there is mi'ila, then it's yotzei l'chulin. If it's yotzei l'chulin, maybe then you can rededicate it for your own purpose. So that would be the idea here. Since here you can't have mi'ila, that's why kapur lo na mi'ila l'chaper. You don't attain kapara, ho v'kach lo matzi mishane, because you can't get it out of its current status. For that reason, you can't change its status. About ma'ot, kevin de mishane, by ma'ot, if you misappropriate them and you spend the money not on the korban that you dedicated them for or designated them for, and instead you use the money for your own personal benefit, ma'il, there would be mi'ila, umaiti korban mi'ila, and you bring a korban mi'ila, ema betchila nami maiti. Maybe then, lechatchila, you'll be able to switch them from one chatat to another chatat. Since you have the capacity to change the status from whatever is dedicated to chulin and bichayav and korban mi'ila, maybe you should also have the capacity to switch it from one type of chatat to another type of chatat. That's what your hava would have been, because you have the power to change it. Given that you have the power to change it, even though it would be a violation of mi'ila, maybe the chatchila, you could switch it from one chatat to another chatat where you're not really being mo'el in it, but you have the capacity to change it. That's what Kamash Malan, Korbano al Chata'ato, comes to teach you, that you don't have that capacity, you don't have that ability. All right, next Mishnah. Mevi'in me'ekdesh kisba. If a person had dedicated money to purchase a kisba for his chatat, he can instead use it l'si'ira. Mekdesh si'ira, if you dedicated the money to purchase a si'ira, you can bring from that a kisba. Meaning that the monies can be used interchangeably between a si'ira and a kisba, which is your behema that you bring for a chatat. Even if you dedicate it for one particular animal, you can switch the monies to the other animal because they're both viable and acceptable korbanot chatat. Umekdesh kisba b'si'ira. If he dedicated the monies for a kisba b'si'ira, he can bring from that torim ubnei yona. He can bring birds in its stead. Umekdesh torim ubnei yona. If he dedicated the monies for birds, then he can bring from that a si'irat e'ifa. Now, what the Mishnah is referencing to is a korban olev yored, by which the person who is wealthy brings a korban behema, like a regular chatat, a si'irah or kisba, and someone who is a middle range economically brings birds, and someone who is very poor brings an a si'irat e'ifa. And so, as the Mishnah is going to explain now, Ketzad ifrish lekisba l'si'ira, if the individual separated or segregated the money to purchase that of a wealthy individual, the top echelon of chatat, he'ani, but then he became impoverished, yavi'o. From those monies, he can bring an of, he'ani. If he became even more impoverished, yavi asirit te'ifa. You can even bring an asirit te'ifa from those monies that he dedicated, and the remainder of the monies, as we'll see in the Gemara, then will go to chulin. Ifrish le'asirit te'ifa, and now vice versa. Had he segregated out money to purchase the lowest echelon of a korban olev yored, the asirit ha'ifa, he'ashir, and then he got wealthy, yavi'ov. Then he adds money to that, and he brings with it an oath. He'ashir, if he gets even more wealthy, yavi kisba u'si'ira. He brings kisba or a si'ira. You see here that there is a little bit of flexibility in the individual's ability to upgrade or downgrade, depending on their economic standing. You might want to know, menahani milet. How do we know that this is the case? The Tanya Rabbanan, mechatato, mechatato, au chatato. So they're quoting here from Vayikra Hey, with regards to the Korban Olev Yored. It says there, vevi et ha'shmo la'shem ha'chatato asher chata nekeva min atzon kisba u'sirat izim lechatat v'chiper alav ha'kohen mechatato. So there is the first mechatato. Though the Rabbeinu Gershom claims that the first mechatato doesn't come from the Korban Olev Yored like Rashi, but rather from the chatat of the Nasi, that's only if he has the capacity to pay for it. If he doesn't have the capacity to pay for it, lo tagei yado deisa, he can't pay for the animal, then next rung on the ladder, you bring birds, one la chatat, one the ola. And then at the end of that it says, Veta Sheni Yaseo Lakimishbai Vichipal of Aquain Mechatato Asher Chatav Nislach Lo. And then the last category, the lowest echelon, is Im Loto Sig Yadol Shtetarim Lashnei Bnei Yonah. If you can't afford birds, Vevi Et Korbano Asher Chatah Sivita Eifah Sol Lechatat Lo Yassim Alei Hashem Lo Yiten Alei Lovanah Ki Chatad Hi. Then you bring in a Sivita Eifah. At the way in there it says, Vichipal of Aquain Al Chatato Asher Chatah. For the chait that he did, mechat me'ilav nislach lo v'ital l'kohen kamincha. You see the word mechatato that's written by the highest form of kisba si'ira, mechatato that's written by the torim ibn Yonah, and then alchatato that is by the asirit ha'ifa. And now the Gemara is going to explain how that is influential in giving us the locha that we find in our Mishnah. So ma talmud lomar, minayin ata omer shemivim ekdesh kisba b'si'ira. How do I know that if you dedicated monies to a kisba, you can bring a si'ira? Umekdesh si'ira kisba, or if you dedicate the monies for si'ira, you can bring a kisba. Umekdesh kisba b'si'ira, or if you dedicate the monies to animals, you can bring torim ubnei yona. or if you dedicated the monies to bring birds, and you can bring an asirit eifah out of that. Ketzad, what is the scenario? Hifrish bekisba ulesi'ira, if he segregated out monies to purchase animals, vehani, and then he became poor, yavi of, he can bring an oaf from it. Heani, if he becomes even further impoverished, yavi asirit eifah from amongst those monies. Hifrish asirit eifah, if he segregated out an asirit eifah to bring as his korban olav yared, vehashir, and then he became more wealthy, yavi of, he can add money and bring an oaf. Vehashir, yavi kisba si'ira. If he becomes even more wealthy, he can even bring with those monies, if he keeps adding on, to bring a kisba si'ira. Now, hifrish kisba o si'ira benista avu, if he separated out a kisba si'ira, and then they get a mum in them, im yatsa yavi b'neim of, he can, with the monetization of them, bring an of. And as the Shita Megubetzin and Otu Gimel points out, the reason the Gemara switched to the Lashon of Ratsa over here, as opposed to the statements in the Mishnah, which are stated facts, is either because of the next line in the Gemara, which is going to say by an oaf, you can't do it. So over here, it says, if you want to, you can. Over there, it says, if you want to, you cannot. Or maybe he makes the fundamental distinction, which is, in the Mishnah, or in the Braita, when we're speaking about monies, over there, the Pasuk gives you specific permission to downgrade the Korban when you've become poor. And so therefore, over there, it tells you, you do this, you do this. Over here, whereby the person already bought the animal, and now gets a moment it, over here, the Torah doesn't give you any instructions as to what you do. Therefore, it's up to you. If you want to, you can monetize the animal and bring a new animal with it, and it'll be Yotze, because even though you are only need to bring an oaf, you upgrade and bring something better, you still will be Yotze, as we'll see in tomorrow's daf. Or you can then downgrade it to an oaf. But there, it's up to you. The pasuk doesn't tell you what to do in that case, because it, since it's already an animal, maybe it's even more incumbent upon you to bring the animal as it is, because you already designated the animal. By the ma'ot, where you've never purchased the animal, over there, lechatchila, even, you can downgrade, because the Torah gives you specific permission to do it in that instance. Yifrish oaf v'nista'ev, if he brings an oaf, and it gets a mumenit, lo yavi b'damah v'asirita'efah. With that money that you monetize, you can't bring an asirita'efah, she'eno oaf l'pidyon, because there's no such thing as pidyon by an oaf. Achei ne'emar, mechatato, alchatato. That's why it uses the words mechatato and alchatato, to teach you these dinim over here, that there is a different din here, than there is normally with regards to mumim and the ability to monetize something and use the proceeds to bring a different korban. Over here, we allow you to move the monies around, unlike other situations, and that's because of the special wording that's used here of mechatato and alchatato. It has to write the word mechatato by kisban sira to tell you you're allowed to bring from the kisba sira mechatato. From amongst those monies, you can bring a Torah or Bnei Yonah. And by Oph also, you need Mechatato to tell you that, so you can bring Mechatato. From the monies designated for the Oph, you can bring an Asirit Eifa. If you only had Mechatato by the Kisban Sira, I would have thought the Hifish Kisba Ki Me'ane Machlin Ma'ot Nachlinon Alof. That if you set aside monies for a Kisba, when you become poor, from those monies, nachalinun, and the way the Shita Megubetzin said is that's where the word chulin. You can make the monies chulin ala oaf. You put the monies towards purchasing an oaf, and the remainder of the money becomes chulin. And you can see a similar sentiment in Rashi, where he says that you took the total amount, and whatever you spend on the oaf, or the asirit eifah, goes towards the korban, and the remainder becomes chulin. Although from the Rabbeinu Gershom, he makes it sound like, originally you only segregated enough money not to pay for a full kisba b'si'ira, you put a portion of the money towards it. In the end, you become poor and you're unable to add on the money to make it into a kisba b'si'ira. You can utilize that money towards an oaf. Or, if you put out enough money, but now you aren't wealthy enough to raise it to even an oaf, then you can bring an asirit eifah from it. So it sounds like from the Rabbeinu Gershom that the monies have to be used towards the korban, and any excess money will become a motar chatat. But over here, you only designated originally a portion of the money you needed towards the kisba b'si'ira, and that could be co-opted either towards the oaf or towards the asirit eifah, but nothing goes out the chulin, and if there is excess, it would go the nidava. We're going to continue reading the Gemara like Rashi, that mechatato allows you to downgrade the lower korban and have the remaining monies go the chulin based on the gzeret hakatuv, because it says in the pasuk mechatato, from amongst the monies you designated for asira kisba, the night the oaf in order to bring an oaf, the reason is the kisba oaf tarvayu minei damim ninu. The reason you could do that is because both kisba and oaf are a form of blood that ends up on the mizbeach. Since it's not in the same category of korban, it is a mincha. it is not damim, blood that ends up on the mizbeach. Ilok teov kra mechatato gabi of. Had you not had the mechatato by the of, havamina, himafrish ma'ot lekino, when you set aside your monies for purchasing of the birds, ilmiani, and then you became impoverished, lo maiti asirut eifa. You can't bring an asirut eifa from amongst those monies, telamine de damimu, because it's not the same category of korban. It's a mincha, it's not a korban of an animal that ends up on the mizbeach. Instead, what you would have to do is bring new monies, pay for the asirut eifa out of pocket, and those monies that he already segregated out will fall towards nidava, being motar chatat, and they will go towards the keitz mizbeach, and it'll actually turn out that for this individual, becoming impoverished makes it even worse. He now not only cannot bring with those monies the birds, he can only bring an asirut eifa, and now he has to pay out of pocket to get the asirut eifa, and he loses all the money that he designated toward the oaf. So actually it would turn out to be a worse situation. He probably would have been better for him just to be able to bring an oaf rather than have to pay for an asirut eifa and lose the money that he dedicated towards the oaf, which is a difficulty for those that believe that if you are of a lower economic standing, that you still have the right to upgrade and do a higher korban. In this case, it clearly would pay for him to do the oaf and not to lose all the money. Ella imken, you explained the Gemara, like we said, the Rabbeinu Gershom, that your original designation or separation of monies was not the full amount of the oaf or the full amount of the kisbah v'seirah, and then you're taking the majority of it and using it towards the lower korban, and there's only a small amount left over, and that's going l'nidava. If you explain like that, Rabbeinu Gershom, then it's easier to comprehend what is being said here by the Gemara and not have you just bring the higher level korban. That's what you would have thought would have happened because the labinei damimu, because they're not the same type of korban. That's why the Torah went out of its way to write mechatato by oaf to tell you not only can you downgrade from monies designated for a kisbah sirah to an oaf, but also downgrade from the monies that were designated for oaf down to an asirut eifa. The memra, the mehekdesh to oaf, nami maiti asirut eifa. From amongst those things that you dedicated to buying the oaf, you can purchase an asirut eifa. And that is permitted even though you're moving from damim to mincha. And now the Braita also says, ki mafrish l'asirut eifa, that if he set aside monies for asirut eifa, by the mighty hashir, and before he brought it, he became more wealthy, nosif aleihon. You're allowed to add on to those monies, v'naiti oaf. Now, hashir, if he becomes even more wealthy, nosif aleihon, you can add on to them, v'naiti kizba o si'ira. And he can bring a kizba si'ira with the monies that he adds towards the monies he had designated for asirut eifa. U'maitam ektiv al-chatato, gabi asirut eifa. Why does it write al-chatato, which seems to me that on top of that which you designate, you can add monies. Why did it write it by the asirut eifa and not write it by the oaf? Diki de'ktav al chatato gabi oaf. Had it written al chatato by the korban of the oaf, havamina, I would have thought ki mafrish ma'ot lekino ve'hashir, when he set aside money to purchase his birds and then becomes wealthy, hu demosif aleihon. There you're allowed to upgrade umayti kisbah sira, and you can bring then a ewe lamb or a female kid or a doling, the tavayu minei damim ninhu, because they're both blood korbanot or animal korbanot. Aval, he frish ma'ot asirut eifa. On the other hand, if you just separated out monies for a mincha to be brought, if he didn't become so wealthy, naiti oaf, then he could bring an oaf. Vimhi ashir tuva, if he became much more wealthy, naiti kizbao si'ira, then he can bring a ewe lamb or a doling. Valein ma'ot, and the original money that he designated for the asirut eifa, da frish, you put in the dava, we'll have to go in the dava because you can't upgrade those monies. They are mincha and they can't be upgraded to damim. That's why the pasuk wrote v'ashirut v'dalut mechatato. That's why the psukim have mechatato written both by kisbav sirah and by oaf. Dalut, and then by the asirut eifa, which is the lowest echelon, al chatato, the midrash kidamina. In order to be doresh, like we said in the braita, which is that you can upgrade an asirut eifa, even though it's not minei damim, you can upgrade it to an oaf, or even to a kisbah v'seirah by adding money to it. And similarly, you can downgrade from a kisbah v'seirah to an oaf, and from an oaf down to an asirut eifa, and the remaining money will go to chulin, because it says mechatato by the upper two echelons, and by the lowest echelon it says al-chatato, so it teaches you everything that we saw in the braita. Okay, we're going to stop here on the last line of Chavzayin Amud Bet.